Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Feedback and Insight Shir number 173. We're going to talk today about what we discussed in the last shir pertaining to burnout, which is a very important topic because many of us experience this in various parts of our lives. And the reason for burnout primarily in many cases is that because everything in life has a purpose. And when used for the purpose in which it was designed, it has a normal life expectancy. But if you have unrealistic expectations of anything and make excessive demands of it and place a greater burden on it than it was meant to carry, then it will burn out. Similar to a clothes iron that's used as a toaster and other functionalities like we discussed in the previous share. So let's assume, for example, you need a car that provides transportation. You had a car for 6 years. You maintained it. And it has over 100,000 miles on it. It's still in excellent shape. Runs smoothly. You have a few scratches on it, minor dents on it. And the bumper, on the bumper, no big deal. It could serve you for another several years. There's no reason to trade it in and pay money and have an additional expense for a newer model, even though it's 6 years old. But what happens if you want the car more than just to provide transportation? Then the ego comes in, because several of your neighbors may have newer cars. And if you have this old model in your driveway, what does it say about you? You're not as successful as they are. So what happened just now? What happened was is the car that until now may have been just a transportation mode for you, now became a status symbol. So it's an efficient vehicle. It works smoothly. You didn't have to put much money in the car. And it could last a few more years without any major expense. But it has no value to you as a status symbol because it's already 6 years old. So in other words, as a status symbol, it burned out. That car burnt out because you switched it from a transportation mode to a status symbol. Now, if you need the status symbol, then you could assume a larger debt to buy a car. Now, a life expectancy, let's say, of a well-maintained car may be 10 years. But a life expectancy of a status symbol may only be 3 years. It leases traditionally 3 years, and then the newer models and so on and so forth. So you maxed out after 3 years. You're already burned out. So if you have cars that your mindset is to be used as a mode of healthy, normal transportation, you may have, let's say, if the cars don't break down and you have some mazel, that you'll have maybe 6 vehicles during your lifetime. 6, 7. But if it's a status symbol vehicle, then you'll have 18 or 19 plus different vehicles in your lifetime. You see, so here you have basically a shift in your focus based on what you moved it for. And yeah, the burnout for a car of a status symbol burns out much quicker than a car used as in the normal way. So just like the human body requires nutrition, the psyche of a person requires emotional nutrition. For example, there's a study shown that infants who have not been adequately cuddled in the first 6 months of life sometimes will have trouble thriving and may suffer from depression. Nutritionist tells us for optimum health, we need a balanced diet. If you only have one type of food, you may have the right amount of calories, but it won't give you what the body requires. Same thing with emotional nutrients. He has graphs here of different sections. You could buy the book, but basically there is emotional input that people get from different places. Family, which should be a significant amount. If you take a circle and put a pie there, family should be a big chunk of it. Then there's friends, then there's work, then there's, let's say, for some people, literature or art or music or hobbies, or for more from people, the Torah, learning Torah study, davening, and so on. And all of this combines for your 100% emotional health. You get inputs from various things. The lion's share of this emotional input derives very often from meaningful interpersonal relationships and non-work-related sources. Work is most of a working person's day, the non-sleeping part of the day, very often for a person is work. So it's very hard and for that not to take a big chunk of it, but it really can't be the full chunk. You need these other aspects of outlets there. Because what happens is, as psychologists basically studied, both men and women, if they had good relationships in their lives, whether in their marriages or as friendships, then they could withstand their workplace stress much better than people who tried to deal with difficult working situations if they did not have that family support or that marriage support. So, for example, they found that 89% of working mothers said that their parenting experiences made them more effective at work. Now, work is primarily to provide one with a livelihood. Sometimes there's an emotional component there too, because you take pride in your accomplishments, you take pride in your productivity. Sometimes you do meet some healthy, good employees that you could connect to. Sometimes even having a healthy friendship. So that is satisfaction from work. But if a person has few family ties and doesn't connect with their, whether if they're married, their spouses or their children, and if they're not married, their neighbors and their community, then it'll be much harder for them. If they have that outlet of helping, either in their own personal family life, if they have family, and if they don't have family, with their community and their friends and so on, then the work, hyper-focus on the work, becomes an unhealthy thing, because then you have an excessive expectation at work, in addition to just providing the livelihood. You're expecting now that the work should also provide the lion's share of your emotional needs. But work is not designed to do that. It's not. It's like that filament in that iron that you want to provide heat for, that toaster, corn popper, coffee maker, and griddle. That filament will burn out if you use work as the main medium of your outlet of emotional needs. It will burn out. It's not designed to be that way. Like I said, you may be fortunate enough to have some nice coworkers, or even develop a deep, good friendship, hopefully male-male, female-female, in the work environment, but it can't. You're, most of the time, the demand of the workplace is much greater than it could realistically provide. You're expecting too much from it, and therefore you could become unhappy. Sometimes a person blames a particular work situation and changes jobs, and the new job may give some relief. But again, you'll lack that emotional input if you lack that in your life. Now, burnout can cause depression, irritability, and anger. It may result in a loss of interest, not only in work, but in other areas of life as well. It may result in insomnia, some medical disorders. What's risky about burnout is that if people try to seek relief from that burnout through alcohol or drugs, he's very vulnerable, or she gets very vulnerable to becoming addicted. If you look for thrills through gambling or forbidden relationships, that's not unheard of. It's quite common, unfortunately. Sometimes you will attribute your unhappiness not to the burnout, but blame your wife or your husband, which can lead to marital difficulties and possibly divorce that could have been avoided. So he then brings a case of a burnout. A lady was a secretary in a business firm. Job was exciting, met new people. She was happily married, or thought she was happily married, had a daughter, 10 years old. She enjoyed caring for her family. Her mother lived nearby. Her husband was a made often out-of-town trips. One day, Jennifer, that's the name of the lady, opened up the husband's letter from the firm, and the letter said that because the company's cutting costs, no personal calls could be made from the office line, and it has a list of personal calls and that the husband made in the last 2 months. 90% came from one number. The wife confronted the husband. He acknowledged he was being involved in a forbidden relationship. And at that point in time, even though they had counseling, the marriage broke up, and then her mother died. So it's understandable that she, the wife, was depressed and down by these losses, the loss of her marriage because of the unfaithfulness of her husband and the loss of her mother. So what she did was is threw herself into her job more and eventually became dissatisfied at work, where until then she had a very pleasant relationship with everyone in the office, but now she became very withdrawn and very hypercritical and very bitter. And the explanation to this, if she would go for the correct therapy, she would basically be advised as follows, that the break of the marriage was very difficult. Her mother's death was very, very difficult. That alone makes sense why the wife would have these emotional changes of getting down and being very hurt by it. And of course, one needs sometimes therapy or chizik to get through those difficult things of a loss of a marriage and the pain of that and a loss of a parent. But the problem is, though, it gets compounded when she attempts to compensate for that emotional void of these losses by expecting more from her work. That's an unrealistic yearning because there was no change in the work. So her dissatisfaction in her work became more and more on the high. Basically, her filament of that iron burnt out. That burnt out. So that is the difficulty one needs to understand with. If someone, for example, has personal problems, they need to work through their personal problems, but not that they throw themselves into work and expect that should fill the void of it. That compounds the problem. It's okay when you have difficulties in your personal life to deal with it and work through it and realize it's a problem and be pained by it and try to get through it. But don't compound the problem by now saying, okay, now I'm going to throw my brain totally into my work or into this or that. That will create a serious burnout. But like he said before, though, there's certain things that are not burnout. Stress is not the same as burnout, like we discussed in yesterday's shiur. Because other things could produce stress, but this burnout is specific. Then you have a case. So here's a case where there was an actual burnout by hyper-focusing on work. Then you have another person that also felt insecure in his job, and it did materialize, and he was carrying the load of supporting two children in college. And he felt that finding a new job at that point, he was 46, was low. And with his wife's encouragement, he was interviewed by several financial advisors and was hired at a lesser salary than he had in the first firm. The children took part-time jobs. The wife managed the household budget efficiently. So yes, it was a blow to the self-esteem to take a lesser paying job. But the husband felt appreciated and understood by his family, so he did not experience burnout. To avoid experiencing burnout, a person needs to do their best to establish family ties that are healthy, widen one's interests. And it's not unusual if you're too engrossed in work, nothing else exists, and you don't have time to read or do anything. Now, don't underestimate the importance of work, but that's not the whole life. You work to live. You don't live to work. And that's something that a lot of us, yours truly, in many periods of my life, needed to learn or need to learn. That is the concept. Here's an interesting story, and we'll end off with this. A man entered a hotel. It said no vacancy. Asked for a room. Says no vacancy. So he says, don't tell me that if the president of the United States would come, you wouldn't find a room for him. So the clerk said, yeah, if the president came, we'd have a room for him. So then the man said, okay, the president isn't coming, so now give me that room. That's the idea. Regardless of how busy one's schedule is, if an emergency arose, you would find time to attend to it. So recognize that strengthening relationships, including your own, and being mechazik in your learning and your davening, and broadening your interests, are just as important as attending to a serious emergency. And by doing so, you may avoid costly burnout. Bracha v'hatzlacha.